We're glad to present your speaker, Brother V. E. Howard.
Will people today be saved like the thief on the cross? The will of Christ was not in effect when the thief asked to be remembered when Christ came into his kingdom. Christ's last will and testament was not in effect when Jesus promised the thief that the two would be together that day in paradise. Since Christ was still alive, and the stipulation of the will of Christianity had not yet gone into effect, the Lord could have promised him salvation upon any terms he desired. Jesus frequently did this during his personal ministry. In fact, there was no uniform manner in which he forgave sins during the course of his earthly ministry. In Mark 2, Jesus had the man sick of palsy brought to him. The Bible says in Mark chapter 2 and verse 5, "And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of palsy, Son, thy sins are forgiven." Does anyone really think that this is the way that one could have sins forgiven today? Will the Lord look at the faith of our four friends and upon their faith forgive our sins? Obviously not. In the latter part of Luke chapter 7, Jesus forgave the sins of the woman who had washed his feet with her tears, wiped them with her hair, and anointed him with ointment. Jesus said to her that her sins were forgiven, or, "Thy faith hath saved thee, go in peace." No one could be saved like that today because Jesus is not here for anyone to wash his feet, or to wipe them and to anoint them with ointment. In Matthew 19:16-26, we read of the rich young rulers coming to Jesus and asking a very vital question concerning eternal life. He desired to know of Jesus what good thing that he should do to inherit eternal life. Jesus pointed him to the law and the commandments. But we might ask, whose law? The law of Christ? No, because the law had not yet been given. That is, Christ's law. He pointed him to the law of Moses. That was the law that was still in effect then. Jesus lived and died under that law. The thief lived and died under that law. The rich young ruler was also living under that law. A number of commandments were brought forth for consideration. The young ruler affirmed that he had kept all of those commandments from his youth. He wanted to know what he lacked. Jesus told him to go and sell all that he had and follow him. Then he would have treasures in heaven. But he went away sorrowful because he was one of great possessions. Now, my friends, are you listening? Why have not the preachers of our day used this example for salvation? Why do so many go to the thief on the cross, but never refer to the case of the young ruler? Both the thief and the rich young ruler were interested in eternal salvation. Is there a reason? Surely there must be. What Jesus told the rich young ruler to do perhaps would be too hard, but what he told the thief to do would be very easy and convenient. Perhaps the truth of the matter is that not many would want to really follow the young ruler, but it is so easy to use the thief on the cross as an example. They happened all in Christ's life, however, before his will went into effect. Now, if the thief on the cross is an example of salvation, is it not strange that he is never mentioned again in all of the record of conversions found in the book of the Acts under the New Testament law? Neither is he mentioned in any way in all of the New Testament writings about Christians in New Testament times. If the thief on the cross is a model for conversion today, why can't we find reference to him somewhere in the New Testament after the death of Christ? Was the thief on the cross included in Christ's last will and testament? You know, as we have already pointed out, the last will and testament of Christ became effective after the death of Christ, the testator. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27 that a testament is effective after the death of him that made it. Surely, my friends, if obedience to the last will and testament of God is essential to salvation, as declared to be true by Jesus in Matthew 7:21-23, then the example of the thief on the cross should be revealed in the New Testament record on conversions. Christ's last will and testament is the example that we must follow today, those record of conversions found in God's last will and testament. But there is no such record revealed in the New Testament. The last will and testament of our Lord which became effective after the death of Jesus. Does it not seem strange that in all the records of conversion in the Acts of the Apostles, the record of conversion to be found in this Bible, not one time was ever the question asked or the statement made, but what about the thief on the cross, when people were told what to do to be saved? The apostles received the great commission from our Lord, as recorded in Mark 16:16, when Jesus declared, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Yet, there is no indication at any time that any apostle ever objected by saying, "But what about the thief on the cross?" Perhaps, if some preachers living today had been there when Jesus commanded, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved," they would have objected by declaring, "But Lord, what about the thief on the cross? Don't you know that the thief on the cross was not baptized?" You know, the Apostle Peter and John were present when Jesus was crucified, and no doubt heard the conversation between Jesus and the penitent thief. Yet, you know, there is not one word in all the Bible from the Apostle Peter or John about the thief on the cross. The Apostle Peter, to whom the Lord gave the keys of the kingdom, preached the first gospel sermon, offering remission of sins in the name of Christ, as you read in Luke 24, verses 46 and 49, and Acts chapter 2:14, and verses 22 through 38. The Bible says that the listeners were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brethren, what shall we do?" Now, what was the answer of the inspired apostle? Remember, Peter was a witness of the crucifixion of Jesus, and no doubt heard the thief request to be remembered when Christ should come in his kingdom. This is the time of the establishment of the kingdom. Christ came in the kingdom with power that very day, as promised previously. Now, you will read that record in Matthew 16:28, Mark chapter 9 and verse 1, and Luke 24:46-49, and Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 8, and Acts chapter 2 in the first four verses. Yes, the kingdom was established on that day. The question was asked, "What shall we do?" Now, did Peter say, "Now we should follow the example of the thief on the cross?" Positively, no. No reference is even made to the thief. But by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Peter commanded, "Repent ye, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, unto the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Acts 2:37-38. About 3,000 souls were baptized for the remission of sins on that day. In all probability, some of the 3,000 who were baptized into Christ for the remission of sins that day witnessed the crucifixion and heard the conversation between Jesus and the dying thief. At least all of them knew what had happened, because Peter told them that, "Ye by the hand of lawless men did crucify and slay Jesus." My friends, not even one person insisted, "But what about the thief on the cross?" On the contrary, the Bible says that they that gladly received his word were baptized that day. The thief on the cross was of no concern to the 3,000 souls who obtained the remission of sins, because as believers, they repented and were baptized for the remission of sins, as you read very clearly and without mistake in Acts chapter 2, verses 37 and 38. You know, there's something here somewhat peculiar to the circumstances. Although the 3,000 were believers who obviously repented as they were commanded in verse 38, it is specifically stated in verse 41 that they were baptized. Why state only that they were baptized and no mention of repentance? Could it be that the Holy Spirit, who directed the writer, anticipated that someday people would say, "Baptism is not essential to remission of sins. What about the thief on the cross?" I tell you, if the thief on the cross had been living and present that very day, he would have been no exception. It would have been necessary for him to obey the command of the Holy Spirit through Peter to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, like all others of the 3,000. In fact, it is reasonable to assume that he would also gladly receive the word of the Lord and obeyed the Lord in baptism, as did the 3,000 penitent believers, as so pointed out in verse 41, when it is said that they gladly received his word and were baptized that day about 3,000 souls. But someone might say, well, they didn't know about the thief on the cross. If that should be the case, beloved, then the inspired Apostle Peter was unfaithful to Christ and the Holy Spirit by not telling them that they should be saved like the thief on the cross, instead of telling them to repent and be baptized for the remission of sins. Now, you don't believe that, do you? My friends, hear me. Are you listening? Could it be that some people claim that the thief on the cross to be the example of their salvation because of convenience? That it was so easy for him to say, remember me, or the time was so short, only a few minutes to live and only a few seconds to say, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. There is another matter concerned to those who accept the teaching of the New Testament regarding the thief on the cross. What about the racial background of the thief? He evidently lived and died in Palestine, therefore, quite obviously, a Jew. He was not a Roman or a Roman citizen, because the Romans did not crucify their citizens. That is but little doubt that he was a Jew. But what difference does that make, somebody says? Simply this. If he were a Jew, then in no way could he serve as a model for the new birth of an alien sinner. Why? Because as a Jew, he was born into covenant relationship with God as all other Jews. He was in covenant relationship with God since the day of his birth of his Jewish mother's womb. He lived all of his life under the Jewish dispensation. He never lived a single day of his life under the Christian dispensation. There is not an alien sinner on earth today who is in the same position as was the penitent dying thief. My friends, I submit to you the following conclusions about this matter. 1. There is not a person today who has ever lived a single day of his life while the Mosaic Covenant was in effect. 2. Every person today has lived all of his life while the Christian dispensation has been in effect. 3. There is not a person alive today who has been in covenant relationship with God since the day of his physical birth, as was the thief. And 4, since Jesus made this promise to the thief while the Lord was still living, it, of course, was all right for the Lord to do so, and no person today could ever find himself in a similar position. And 5, the will and testament of Jesus Christ had not gone in effect when the thief asked to be remembered, and Christ promised him a place with him that very day in paradise. 6, every person living today has lived the entirety of his life subsequent to the death of Christ, not before it. And 7, the Great Commission had not been given when the dying thief made his request of the Lord. But the Great Commission, with its emphasis upon New Testament baptism, has been in effect every day of all of us, all of our lives. 8, there is no conceivable way that the example of the thief on the cross can be duplicated by any alien sinner today. The dying penitent thief sustained a position to Jesus Christ that no person on earth today can ever duplicate. Will the thief on the cross be saved? It is my opinion that the thief will be saved. The Bible indicates that the thief will be saved. However, it must be understood that one's believing or not believing that the thief will be saved will not affect his destiny in eternity. To the thief, Jesus declared, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Luke 23:43. Christ went into paradise, which is Hades, Acts 2:31, after his death. He promised the thief that he would be that place of abode for him that day also. The saved in paradise receive the crown of life in the morning of the resurrection, and we can logically expect the thief to be among that number. But whether the thief was baptized or not baptized is of no concern to you and me today, because we must obey the will of Christ today.